Jacob.
Yeah, what's up?
What do a desperate aging socialite with a shady past and an anxiety-ridden teenager preparing to graduate from middle school have in common?
I don't know. What do they have in common?
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched Blue Jasmine.
And this week I watched 8th Grade.
And now it's time to make
the movie connection. Welcome in, everybody. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where we assign each other movies that we haven't seen, and we sit down each week to discuss, review, and break these things down and see, you know, we watch these two different movies, and then we try to see if there's any connective tissue between the two.
Yeah.
And yeah, the results have been pretty good. Like, this is episode 14, and you know, we are going strong. Ha, didn't miss it this time.
I was gonna say, yeah. Episode 101.
Oh yeah, right. Like, we and see, that's been a landmark too. We did just celebrate 100 episodes, which is really exciting.
It is.
Well, between the two podcasts,
yeah, because we have two. If you haven't heard of
it, it's real involved. Hi, right. Chris.
Hi, Chris.
You get it. No,
he does. He's an OG fan.
It's awesome.
Yeah, buddy.
So welcome in. Two awesome movies this week. I watched 8th Grade, which was awesome.
And I watched Blue Jasmine.
Heck yeah. Two highly controversial films.
Really?
Not really. No.
I'm like, I didn't know 8th Grade was controversial.
Highly controversial. No, but they both have very highly controversial figures associated with them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Only
I'm
one
like,
of them
Bo?
Does.
Like,
yeah.
How is Bo controversial?
Well, you could say Bo is controversial in a, you know, to an extent, just not in like the way the other guy is for sure.
Right.
I'm really stoked. This was a fun week. Like, this was supposed to be like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I try to alternate between like a heavier movie.
Same.
And then like a lighter movie. So that's kind of the pattern like you can kind of see going on here.
Right.
This was supposed to be like heavy week, but you know what? It was pretty light. I think like it went down easy, like easier than fucking detachment week, you know. that was rough. I think that's the bar, right?
That is the bar. Yeah. I agree though. Like, these were both like emotionally taxing movies, mm-hmm. but like had a lightness to them that made it easy to watch.
Yeah, right.
Both of them had some humor associated with
exactly.
them, which always helps.
I think you're right. Easy to watch is a good way. Like, there's something, heavy material, but something about it was easy to watch. Yeah,
for
that's
sure.
Fair.
Although I will say that 8th Grade, like, there are certain parts that just fucking
yikes.
Make me
cringe
in my skin and like in the familiar way.
Yeah.
Because like
right,
I was
bet.
An 8th grade girl,
yes.
you know? Like, so
uh-huh.
I get it.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's my turn first.
It's my turn. Mine. Awesome. Well, Casey, why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie A Blue Jasmine.
Yeah. So Blue Jasmine. It's a film about a socialite named Jasmine or Janet.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We don't get much explanation on that. Played by the wonderful Cate Blanchett.
So good.
Who is going through a hellish time after her wealthy husband, played by Alec Baldwin, dies.
Yeah.
We don't find that out for a while, though. I thought she was going through like a divorce.
Right.
Jasmine leaves New York and she goes to San Francisco to stay with her sister, Ginger, mm-hmm. played by Sally Hawkins.
Really good.
Jasmine must deal with her memories of her privileged past, full of realities that she's trying to ignore. Will she be able to move forward with her life, or will her past haunt her forever?
Well, no.
you know,
you're going to have to stay tuned to find out.
We don't get a lot of closure.
Which is great. I love movies that do that.
I do too sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. This one was a good one for it, for sure.
Can you think of a movie where you hated it, where you didn't get the closure that you wanted?
Not off the top of my head, but I have watched many films that I've been
Shutter
like,
Island? No, that was pretty cool.
Ugh, that was cathartic. I love that. Yeah, that's good. It's a good one. But yeah, no, there are definitely some. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But some that like infuriated me at the time.
Right. Well, I always like to just start off with general, like, so had you ever heard of this one or anything like that?
I have, like, seen it when looking through movies.
Mm-hmm.
Saw Woody Allen's
name
and kind of skipped it, to be honest.
Fair enough. And, yeah, yes, that is the elephant in the room, isn't it? We can, we'll get into that when I get to my questions, but, yeah.
Sure. Cate Blanchett, though, like, I love her. I think she's a great
Fantastic.
Actress.
Fantastic. So good.
She's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite roles that she did?
Yeah. I thought she was really good in Carol. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I need to with Rooney Mara.
Yeah,
ooh,
maybe
put
I'll
that
add it
on
to
the
your
list. That's good.
And then
I keep seeing it in my Tubi, and I'm just like, Tubi continued.
Where'd You Go, Bernadette is a movie that I really liked her in. That's based off of a book. And the book is really good, and the movie's pretty good, too.
I'll have to watch that. That's also in my Hulu, so okay, worth a look, then.
Elizabeth, The Golden Age was really good.
The Elizabeth movies.
And the other Elizabeth movie, yeah, both were very good. She's just awesome.
Fuck yeah, she is.
She's done so much.
Yeah, awesome. So you saw that, like, that was almost enough, but, Woody Allen, like, that's kind
of... Yeah, it was, like, one of those where I was like, maybe if I never have something to watch, like, I'll put it on, because I really do enjoy her acting so much.
Yep, yep.
But, you know.
Yeah. And then, awesome. So let's just dive into the Q&A session, shall we? So, The Elephant in the Room, this is directed by an increasingly controversial figure, Woody Allen. How did this affect your viewing?
I mean, I tried hard to just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find it interesting that
Did you make some connections to, like, you know?
I did find it really interesting that this was, like, centered around women.
Mm, right.
You know?
You know, yeah, because, you know, Woody, I don't know, you probably haven't seen a lot of Woody Allen movies. Understandable,
no.
He's like, and I had never really been into him, but I went through a bit of a Woody Allen phase just because as
a lot of
filmmakers,
people do,
like, they kind of, that name constantly comes up. And so I checked out, his earlier stuff is pretty great and, like, definitely, like, stands out and was definitely unique and stuff. Like, the 70s, it was really good. So there's a few standout movies from there, but they all centered around him too as the actor. And I like those, like, those are really great, like, writing wise, filmmaking wise, and all that good stuff. His later stuff, he did the smart thing and took himself out of the picture, so it's almost a little better. And then this is one of the few that I can kind of like because it does put a female front and center instead of his typical male protagonist, which are always just him.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, things that I know about Woody Allen, like, even before any allegations were made against him, was that he's, like, pretty sexist.
Yeah.
And that,
womanizer.
And that he's a womanizer. Yeah. So those were, like, the things
And apparently proud of it, because all of his movies were about it.
And that's what I was going to say. Even, like, you know, maybe seeing some of his movies, I, like, made that connection as well, just because of his characters and being centered on men usually. I read a fun fact about this movie. I don't have it up in front of me, but it said something about, like, the sisters not really have, he didn't give them a backstory, and so everything we hear in the movie is actually stuff that Cate Blanchett and Sally made up,
came up with. Well, there you go. I mean, there it is right there. And, you know, like,
He didn't even give them backstory.
Yeah, what a jerk. Like, right?
I kind of think that's a dick move.
Like,
But I guess at least he let them make it up for themselves.
Totally. And that's, like, the thing about his... So, again, like, he has a couple of those movies back then that I do like Manhattan and Annie Hall are really good. Mm-hmm. But Annie Hall, again, like, kind of really has a badass female protagonist in it. And everybody holds him up as this, like, awesome filmmaker. It's like, from what I hear, like, he underdirects. Like, he doesn't do much. Like, he's a decent writer, I think, is the thing. And, like, he's one of those auteurs where it's just like, oh, he wrote really good, so he's really good. It's like, I don't know about that.
Right.
It mostly has that he hires good people for the job. Like, that's the other thing that sucks is like you will see Kate Blanchett there, and it's like, oh fuck yeah, ooh, a Kate Blanchett movie. Oh, Woody Allen film, fuck that. See, he's deceptively good. Like, he does hire the right people for the job. So a lot of the time, it a movie rides on the awesomeness of the performances. I've got another Woody Allen film in the list here, but we'll save it for next season.
Okay.
I'll be interested because it's interesting. But anyway, awesome. So you picked up on some stuff. Okay. How do you feel the movie handles class and affluence in urban America? What does it have to say about that society?
Yeah, I think this movie has a lot to say about class, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because you don't really feel, as the viewer, like one way is better than the other.
Yeah, right.
You know, because you're seeing it from, like, we really follow Jasmine, right? Mm-hmm. And she's so uppity, but we also see that she, like, lives in her own universe.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, ignores anything that doesn't have to do with her parties, her drinking.
Sure. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, even so much so that, like, she's, like, ignoring her husband's blatant affairs that are happening literally right in front of her face.
Right.
So, like, you know, there's that. And she very much just has her head in the clouds and doesn't think about real life at all.
Yeah.
And then we have her sister who, like, we see, you know, struggling a little bit, and like her life doesn't feel glamorized,
right,
or
not glamorized
good either. Yep. Really. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, I think by the end of it, I'm happier with her character,
but in a different way. Like, yeah, her struggles are a little different.
And like, we hear, you know, just a little bit of the past of her running away when she was a teenager. We don't really get to know anything about their parents or what was up with them.
And then there's that interesting thing that, yeah, they're adopted. So that's an interesting thing that doesn't get explored enough, because that's very interesting. They're both from different adopted parents, right?
So they both have different birth parents.
Different birth parents.
Adopted by the same parents.
And were adopted, yeah. So that's very interesting, because it's like no blood relation. So you did grow up in the same household.
Right. But we don't know, did they have money? Did they not have money? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously they're not alive anymore, because Kate Blanchett's character would have gone to them.
Yes. Yeah.
Not her, like, estranged sister, who, like, goodness, like, she's a really good person.
Yeah. She's pretty cool. Yeah, her character is really awesome.
She's complex, too.
There's, like, a bunch of interesting characters. And then so what you said about, right, it seems like it's glamorizing that upper class society, but it also feels like, you know, it's making fun of it in that satirical way.
It is making fun of it, for sure.
Where it's like, you're not supposed to, like, really envy these people, I don't think.
Right. She's got her head in the clouds. She's not paying attention to anything around them. Like,
she's a criminal.
When she, like, reaches out to her friend and says, I think my husband's having an affair, her friend is like, oh, thank God you finally figured it out. Right. I was not going to tell you.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Which I do have complex feelings about anyways. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've asked Josh that question before. If you, like, saw a friend's spouse in the street, like, with another person, would you tell your friend?
Mm.
Kind of a situation.
Yeah, huh?
Because, like, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I've heard advice podcasts where people are like, no, you shouldn't, because you don't know what their situation is, like, behind closed doors. Maybe they have an open marriage that they don't want to tell you about, things like that. But I think that you just follow your gut there.
Yeah,
like, if
right.
you know your friend
That's
really,
a good
really
call.
Well.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they were like, she doesn't know, but we're all going to talk about it when she's not around.
Ugh, yeah.
And that is the worst.
Yeah, and they are the worst people. Like, see, that's one thing I kind of, like, enjoy about movies and shows like this about, you know, that side of society.
Totally.
Is it's fun to, like, you know, hate them a little bit.
Oh, right? Yeah, for yeah. sure. They're all, like, a little bit despisable.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, Jasmine's character, like,
we never find out about, I forgot that. We never find out why she's called Jasmine at all, huh?
No, like, the sister and the husband, like, back in one of the flashbacks, were talking about it, and he was just like, but her name's Janet. And she's like, no, now her name's Jasmine. And he's like, what, because it's his favorite flower? And so, like, I don't know if she changed it for her husband.
Interesting.
Or what.
Could be. So we're left alone to kind of speculate
we
a little
kind
bit.
Of have to guess about that.
I like that. I did not pick up on that. Okay. And then, here's something fun to talk about. Thoughts on Kate Blanchett's performance just overall?
So good.
Yeah, right? She won an Oscar for this one.
She deserved
obviously.
It.
Obviously.
Yeah, she's so good. She definitely plays the part so perfectly. Like, I was definitely engrossed in feeling like I was actually watching this happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to, like, she was clearly having some kind of mental
and
breakdown.
Yeah, what, and I think I might be jumping it. No, okay, it kind of ties into it. It's my follow-up question. What would your, like, diagnosis be, if anything? Like, what do you think's going on here?
Because, like, I don't think a psychologist would, like, diagnose her as a schizophrenic or anything like that. I think they would just...
And I forget, doesn't she take medication?
She takes Xanax.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And Xanax is for, like, depression and anxiety.
Uh-huh. See, okay, anxiety kind of makes sense.
She definitely has anxiety, but more so than that, she just, like, she has avoided the past so hard that it's literally coming out when she's, like...
Oh, I see.
Drunk or high.
Right.
Like, she's taking these Xanax, she's drinking shitloads of martinis, and when that happens, that's when she has her slip-ups and moments of stress, and then she, like, starts talking to herself.
Right, right, and it's always about the past, you're right.
Yeah. But it's always about the past, so it's literally the past is trying to make her confront herself, right?
Interesting stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's how I took from it, at least. I was like, oh, she's not willing to deal with it, so when she's, like, inebriated, she's gonna deal with it a little bit. Even if it's not consciously.
Very cool. That's, you know, that's interesting. We were kind of talking about that last week or so.
Yeah.
Or no, it was the week before that. And that's kind of a lot of what my work with Rachel is to do with, is like that inner child work, you know?
Yes,
like,
you
don't do it,
it
guess
it.
What? It, like, it,
it'll creep up on
you. Yeah, it comes out.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I think, yeah, you're familiar with it. Our generation kind of is familiar with this.
I would say so,
like, yeah.
I would say so.
And then... just thoughts on the different relationships we see throughout. So we kind of talked about the one relationship or a couple relationships already about, so Kate Blanchett's relationship with her sister. That's an interesting one. There's almost a little bit of jealousy going on there.
Yes.
On both sides, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely some jealousy on both sides.
The unhealthy relationship between Kate Blanchett and Alec Baldwin's character.
Oh, yeah.
Baldwin does really good, though.
He is such a good asshole. He's so great.
Oh, talk about the relationship between him and, or her, and then that new beau of hers that, you know.
Oh, my God. She was just gaslighting the hell out of him.
Oof.
And don't get me wrong. Like, he's like a rich, snobby guy that is just believing what's told to him at face value and doing no research whatsoever on his own.
Right.
But
it's like, I didn't feel too bad for him, you know.
Right. And it's not like he actually married her, but yeah. I don't know. I thought that their relationship was... when she, like, at the end, when she's talking to somebody and saying, like, oh, yes, he's just one of those men that can't not have a wife. I was like, that's true. That feels... He was looking for an appropriate trophy wife.
Yeah, right.
And found one, but then found out,
no
she's actually not.
No, I'm good, actually.
She's stained.
Yeah. Broken. No, just kidding.
Yeah,
nobody's
she's
broken.
Great. We love her.
And then, how did you feel? So, I forget what her sister's, character's name is.
It is Ginger.
Ginger. So what did you think of, so Ginger has the relationship with the fucking crazy ass guy. Yeah. And then she has the one with Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Which... That was hard for me to watch, too. So we had two despicable characters going on here. One behind the camera, one in front.
Right. And then her ex, Aki.
Which, what a sleazeball. Like, they're all sleazeballs, right? Like,
except for her ex-husband. I don't actually think he was a sleazeball. Aki.
I see. Andrew Dice Clay. One of the weirdest... Really, he does a great job
when he
really shouldn't. Like, Andrew Dice Clay is not an actor. It's funny. Yeah, anyway.
What does he do?
He's a very much an infamous stand-up comedian. Very offensive. Like, he was kind of canceled.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, yeah, a lot of people, like, have strong feelings about him. he did all right in the movie that, like, you know, yeah, I don't know I, too much, but yeah.
Yeah, I thought his character was good in the movie. I was like, oh, clearly, like, they probably divorced because of what happened with, that's my with assumption Jasmine. There.
Yeah.
With Jasmine's husband, like, that investing.
Would be enough to cause a rift.
I mean, $200,000 that he, that they won, that they were like, this is our shot to, like, literally change our world and our world for our children.
Yes.
And then she convinces him to, you know, invest it.
Yeah.
With somebody that he's, like, sort of not sure he wants to invest it with, you know, and then they lose
That's
it.
That's right. You're right. So it's one of those things. It's like the typical racket where it's just like, yeah, you win. It's like, oh, that's really great. You should totally reinvest. Like, it's all about reinvesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think investing is smart, but, like, in you need
not
to.
Not when you reached your goal or.
Right. Like, and also just A, like, I think that investing is fine if you have knowledge about it or are, like, doing it in small. Like, I have a friend that invests, but he does, like, very small investments. But, like, I never think, like, they have $200,000 and that's, like, all their money, the most money they've ever had. I'm like, why didn't they invest half of it? Like, why didn't they keep 100K to,
oh,
like.
That's how they get you. It's the addiction. It's yeah.
But I did. I think that's what caused their divorce, like their inevitable divorce.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Again, I'm reading into it because they didn't give us.
Which I kind of like again. Like, it, yeah. You know, it, like, it gives you some freedom in that way. Because the characters are so well developed that it kind of, it's like you can almost
and
paint
Chili,
the picture.
Like, Chili, I definitely think is not good enough for her. Like, I actually agree with Kate Blanchett's character, Jasmine.
He's a fun enough character, but he's, a nightmare.
He's fun. He is a nightmare. Like, he's one of those people that, like, challenges you constantly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, he was doing that to Jasmine's character before he even knew her as a person.
Yeah.
Like, doing 20 questions.
Right.
And why do you feel this way? And da-da. And I, like, cannot stand people who come off like that right away. I'm just like, no, no, no. You are, like, in my space.
Yeah, right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
True.
And so for that, I was like, I sort of didn't like him at first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could tell he was trying to, like, play it cool, you know?
You know that that's, Van Pelt from the Jumanji movie?
I did not even
yeah,
realize.
It's him.
My brain did not make that connection.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, fun. Yeah, and yeah. then later, though, when he, like, causes that huge scene at the supermarket,
Jesus
I was
Christ.
Like, and don't get me wrong, like, I understand why he's upset, right? Uh-huh. Like, his girlfriend that he was, like, serious enough to want to marry is fucking some other
yeah,
guy. Like,
yeah.
yeah, that's upset. That's scene worthy, but not sure, at
but
her place of
not,
work and not in a grocery store.
Definitely not
store.
The place of work.
And, like, yeah.
I loved the interaction between him and the
clerk,
the, grocery
the manager.
Guy.
Yeah. Do you need a tissue? No, thanks, man. I'm good.
No, I'm good. Really good stuff. That act, I really like that actor.
Yeah,
he's got such a manic energy. Like, just, whoa, man.
Totally.
Just like,
totally.
I don't know if you're going to hit me. Like,
right. What is going on?
What's happening? Awesome. Awesome. So, and you know, so this is actually a, I don't know if you're familiar with A Streetcar Named Desire.
I'm not. I did see that popping up a lot.
Some modernized version of that, which it very much is. Like, if you're familiar, I'm kind of familiar with it. It's fun to read that into it, but it's one of those where it's not overbearing, where it's just like, oh, this is clearly, like,
right.
scene for scene. Like, it's just enough to be like, it's like, oh, yeah, this is kind of like a modern Streetcar Named Desire. Okay. And it's kind of fun. Like, it's not, again, it's not like annoying or takes you out of it in any
That's
way.
Nice.
So it was really kind of cool to enjoy it from that perspective. Yeah. Perfect. So let's get to our favorite questions.
Favorite.
So your favorite performance outside from the obvious, like, I mean,
ugh,
I think
I
we can
pick Kate
hand
Blanchett.
It right out to Kate.
Oh, real quick before we go to this, though, mm-hmm. the kids, that was an interesting relationship in general. We didn't see a lot of them. Yeah. Ginger's kids.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see a lot of them. But what we did see did add to it.
I liked the interactions.
I really liked the interaction of them with her
yes.
in the diner.
Jesus
like that
Christ.
Scene in particular was really fun for me. But yeah, outside of Kate Blanchett's character, I would probably pick Sally Hawkins as Ginger. Yeah,
and that's she was actually nominated for a lot of awards too.
She was
understandably
really good. She was really good.
So it's awesome that amongst this, like, I like how you mentioned, like, Woody Allen, this symbol of male chauvinist, like, awfulness. Mm. And guess what? It's the women who, like, won this one.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. Best director, no sir.
Bye.
So that's really kind of cool takeaway.
It is cool, yeah.
So you who was your, or sorry, favorite quote?
Yeah, my favorite quote is, tip big boys, tip big, because you know, oh, sorry. Tip big boys, tip big, because you get good service and they count on tips, which is like something that she says to the boys in the diner. So I loved that. I was like, that's true. You should tip.
Yeah.
Big
tip
boys.
Big. In America. And then favorite scene.
My favorite scene was actually, so I have two.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the scene with Augie in the street. And, like, confronting her, but, like, in a very calm,
really good,
and nice way.
Yeah, not like Chili would have done.
Right. Polar opposite to, like, a few scenes prior what we saw with Chili in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was very calm, and he was just, like, glad that you're here, like, with your
And
new
he didn't
rich...
direct it all at the guy. Like, a lot of scenes will do that, where it's just like, oh, you know, you're with a fucking, like, you know,
totally.
Piece of shit. Like, yeah.
Totally. No, he was very calm and saying it to her, and, like... You know, your son is in Brooklyn, right? Like, your son is, or wherever, Oakland, sorry.
Yeah.
Not Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah,
like,
California.
Yeah, because right. she yeah. kills. But, so, yeah, that was a really good scene.
One, yeah.
I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And the scene that followed was good, too. But I really, my other favorite scene was her in the music store with her son.
Ah.
Sort of son.
Very
like
good.
Talking to him and him being, I liked that because it pieced everything together for us as the mm-hmm. viewer.
You're right.
Because we were just so much we didn't know, right?
Yeah,
like Jasmine right. finding out about the affair and then confronting him and then him being like, don't worry, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to set you up. It'll be fine. I'm going to leave. Go have your mental breakdown. And then her being the one that turned him into the FBI.
Yeah.
And like spiraling. Yowza. All of this, I'm sure she's got like a heavy amount of guilt as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he killed himself in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, was a direct result of
probably.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, that's
so
a
that
good
scene was good, and him being like, "No, I found out, and like, I hate him, but I hate you too."
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, fair enough.
Yikes.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Really, yeah, positive. Like, what? And good looking movie too. Like, I really like,
beautifully
enjoyed
shot.
The
beautifully
yeah,
shot.
Really beautifully shot. Would you rewatch? Recommend? And then we'll get to the rate vote. So first,
sure.
rewatch or recommend?
Yeah, I would probably rewatch it, and I would recommend it.
See, and it kind of surprising, right? Like, this is one of the few Woody Allen movies that I would return to.
Yeah, because it's like you said, it's beautifully shot. I like that it leaves.
It's the Cate Blanchett show. It's not the Woody Allen show.
Yes, it's like
it's good. It's well written. I will give him that. Like,
it
know,
is well written.
Yeah,
and it does like explore another side of like mental instability that you don't see often. Like, and she did such a, like, because she would be so, quote unquote, normal acting and then, like,
right.
go off on her little side tangents.
Yes. to the point, and then it's the best seeing other people's reactions to it.
I
like,
really loved, like, the opening scene when her and the lady are getting off the plane, and I thought they were friends.
Yes, yeah.
And the lady's just like,
I don't know.
I thought she said something to me, but then I figured out she was talking to herself, but then she was talking to me.
So,
like, oh
I feel like
God.
That would be me. I feel like
me
that
too.
Would
me too. I've done that on accident. Like, yeah. It happens, man.
Shit. And then, so yes to both. And then what would you rate it out of 5 stars?
I give it a solid 3.5.
Nice.
I almost gave it 4, but I was like, no.
No, yeah, no, no.
3.5 is good.
Yeah, it's good. Because it still is about that shitty type of people, you know?
And there is, like...
It's hard for me to be like, wait, whose side am I supposed to be on?
And while I like the lacking in story, I also like wish there was a little bit more.
True. It's more of a
little bit more.
It is more of like a play almost feel.
It does feel kind of like a play. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. Very cool. 3.5 for that one.
I didn't really make any connections other than the streetcar named Desire, which I haven't seen.
Fair enough.
Because I think it's like a unique movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Well, perfect. So now it's my turn to talk about Eighth Grade.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. So, here I go. okay. So there's like this movie and it's called Eighth Grade and, it's like moving images, but also with sound movie. So here we go for real. Before Bo Burnham made the quintessential quarantine movie Inside, he was busy making the quintessential middle school coming of age movie. Starring Elsie Fisher in the lead role of Kelly alongside a cast of mostly teenagers. Mm-hmm. Kelly is a YouTube video creator who often posts motivational videos of her addressing the camera. What we find out is Kelly's life is a bit different than the life she puts out on social media. With the help of a supportive father, we watch as Kelly prepares to graduate into high school, which is a pivotal time for her. Kelly struggles with her anxiety and plenty of other unfortunate events that are perhaps too familiar to other girls Kelly's age. In addition to the coming-of-age story, the movie offers an unflinching and all-too-accurate portrayal of the modern tween social media culture, mm-hmm. complete with zero eye contact and screen-illuminated faces.
Yeah.
yeah.
I bet it's really interesting for you to see this after watching Inside, too.
yeah, yeah. Definitely. Well, I definitely recognize the music. Like, it's like, okay, music was definitely done by Bo.
Yes.
awesome. And it was a good use of music also.
Yeah, he definitely has an ear for that.
Knows when to take it in and take it out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get to see different parts of his brain.
Mm-hmm. Like, I liked the kind of Ferris Bueller
totally
idea of, like, whenever she saw that boy. It's like, oh, shit.
Yes. So fun.
It's like, that's how it feels sometimes, man.
It is. Especially when you're 14.
Like, yeah, for sure. And I bet especially girls, like, you know, sometimes that shift of the hair, man, like, just, wow, what?
I got to tell you something funny. So Josh and I rewatched this, you know, together before I wrote out these questions.
So good. Yeah.
And when she did her first YouTube video where she's doing the and Josh looks at me and he goes, this sounds like you and Jacob's first podcast. Like our first episode, you know, because we were both nervous. But now we're just such pros for the most part. I
and
mean,
now
we
we've
do
embraced
say,
and stuff.
Yeah. But it's just so funny. I cracked up when he said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is so good. I'm so excited to talk about it.
It's a good movie. It's very accurate, you know.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because we didn't go to school when there was, like, social media like this.
Mm-hmm.
In middle school, especially.
No, especially not, yeah.
I think I maybe had a Facebook.
So it did remind me of high school more than middle school for me.
Of course, right? Yeah. We didn't even get regular internet until I went to middle school. Mm-hmm. And at that point, mostly for me, what the internet was YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
and emailing my friends.
See, yeah, for me, like, yeah, this concept of the internet, it's like, why would I need that? It's like, I can look up information. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
It's like, I give a fuck. It's like, there's so much. Wait, porn. Yeah, but that, like, destroys your hard drive, right? It's like, no, man.
No, it doesn't, man.
It's like, no. That's what they fucking tell you. That's what they want you to think. It's like, holy shit. Here, check out this site. Wait, no. Ew, wait, stop.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, very accurate social media. Like, and it's just, it's unfortunate, though, to the point where it's just like, yeah, they're looking at their phones, not looking at each other.
Yes.
And it's just like, I love that he showed that, though, and, like, didn't sugarcoat it, because it shows, it's like, is this cinematic? No. So why do we do, like, I don't know.
Yeah, this is how life is now, though. Yeah, uh-huh. For kids especially. For sure.
All these fucking Zoomers. No.
They are.
Just kidding. We love you guys. Yeah, I found out like most of our audience is, like, around 17, so.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Good job. No, so interesting, though. And even for dinner, like, her and her dad, she's, like, on her phone with headphones in.
Dude, yeah, unacceptable. Holy sorry. Shit, like,
dude, I would not allow
it. He is better
it.
Than I. Yeah, no.
But I don't know exactly.
Sorry, but then again, I'm a millennial.
Yeah. I'd be like, you fucking put that down now.
Enjoy the shit. It's not, like, if it was a household where it's like, oh, you eat your food in your room or separate, like, that's or, something. Yeah, it's like, maybe, oh, but we are deciding to eat at a dinner table.
So. Right. Maybe a couple times a week you can eat from the couch or whatever. Yeah, at that point, sure, you can do whatever you want, right? Yeah. But no, not if we're eating at a table together. And he's trying to converse with her. Yeah. He's trying.
And I like that they didn't make her too, like, unlikable in that. Like, no. They could have made, like, they've done this before where it's like you kind of lose sympathy for the main character if they do this I too long, but it was just accurate, and like he was like, he didn't like turn on her, you know. Like,
no, for sure.
Very that's understanding. Such a good dad.
Good dad. He's a really good dad. Are you ready for some Q&A?
Some Q&A, lay it on me.
Okay, so first one's a personal question.
Oh, Jesus.
How was your transition from eighth grade to high school?
Yeah.
Because that is a really big transition in your life that you don't realize is going to be a big transition, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a big milestone. And, you know, it's interesting that they had this situation, which is similar to our situation here and isn't similar to a lot of people's middle school situation. In that I think this was a school for 6th to 8th graders. Which I wish we actually would have middle school include 6th grade, I think.
I agree, because middle school's so short that I feel like by the time you're comfortable, it's time to go to high school.
Yeah, exactly. Because we went to a middle school where it was just 7th and 8th graders.
Yes, that's true.
That kind of made sense, but I don't know. It's weird, like, because don't some schools do K-8 sometimes?
Yeah, and I'm always of the mind of, like,
I want to get the 7th and 8th graders out, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders out of there, though.
I think the 3 years is better than the 2.
Yeah.
It is hard, though. I think for me, what was harder, I think, than my transition, I think transitioning to high school was hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging in a bunch of ways, but transitioning from our tiny elementary school to a big middle school was hard too.
That was crazy.
You're like living through transitions during this stage in your life.
So I feel like you get the mechanics of, you know, the process of what it means to be in high school during middle school. It's like, oh, so this is a thing where, okay, I have to remember classes.
I have 8 classes every day.
And then it gets weird. It's weird. And I think it still goes through evolutions now with you, these A day, B day, C days, fucking crazy shit that they do. It prepared you better for high school. The transition to high school was relatively easy.
And like you had something you wanted to go into right away, right?
Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah. So that helps. I think with that classes. For me right it away. Becomes the I experienced the obstacle that most people experience in high school for the college thing, where it's just like, I don't fucking know what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, college is a little more forgiving in that way, where it's just like, okay, no, you can get in here. Like, you don't know what you want. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Like,
we'll help you. Don't worry.
There's plenty of shit to choose from. You'll find your thing.
Right.
Yeah. Me, eighth grader going into, I was more excited than anything. I was just like, any excuse to do something new. So.
Yeah, you did really well with change.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty well.
I really resonated with the way that Kayla described her anxiety.
Oh, is it like, Kayla? I've been saying Kelly.
Kayla.
My bad. Kayla, shit.
Like waiting in line for a roller coaster and never getting the feeling of going on the ride. Does that feel true to you?
Yeah. See, here's the thing where this movie, like, saw me too much.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, and like, Bo gets it right. Like, this is what it's like to have anxiety.
I looked at Josh.
I feel like this is you, actually. This was
it
you.
So yeah. Is me. I looked at Josh. I paused it. I had tears in my eyes, and I was like, have you ever felt that way? Because I feel that way 80% of the time. Like, It's crazy.
Like, yeah, I'm not even doing anything. And I'm just like, okay.
Sometimes I'm laying in bed and I'm just like, cool. Why am I feeling
why
like
am
this?
I sweating? Why am I sweating?
And you don't get that adrenaline rush from, like, when you go on a roller coaster, you're waiting, you're nervous, you're waiting, you're nervous. And then you get on it and you're like, I have so many endorphins and I'm so excited and this is so fun. But you don't get that in real life when you're just like going through those feelings of anxiety, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So it's similar to like, yeah, if Kayla, man, I fucked up big time. It's Kayla. And I kept saying Kelly.
I think Kayla. I better check.
Yeah, please do.
I better check. But I think that Bo, because I know that Bo struggles a lot with anxiety himself.
I bet. And that's, yeah, he has some authority on the subject and that shows.
And yeah, I think that just like the way he described
it. It is Kayla. Fuck.
I think the way he described it there is just so beautiful and true.
Yeah.
This movie is really about anxiety.
It's really about anxiety. And like, I think it's going to be more and more familiar to kids this age. It sucks that at this age. Well, no, I guess it.
I feel like this is normal. The age when my anxiety developed.
Yeah.
Was when I was in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
It is weird. I mean, it's like hormones shifting, life changing, you know, like a bunch of things all coming together.
True.
You know, they don't really know what causes it, but fun.
We never found out about the mom situation.
We don't get to really find out about the mom situation.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I don't know if she left,
mm-hmm.
which could explain be. Some of her feelings. Anxiety. Yeah. Right. Or she could have died as well, and that also could explain it, right? Like, we don't really know what happened to her mom, but we know that her dad is working really hard to be both.
He's trying.
He's trying, yeah. The scene, you know, in the pool party in particular really resonated with me as well.
Yeah.
Like, when she's, like, in the bathroom totally having a fucking panic attack.
I would have to do things like that. It was like, okay, I'm here. I need to prepare.
Same.
And then I can go.
Right.
Okay. Oh, shit. Somebody. Oh, God. Wait. Okay. That person's making me feel. I got to go again. I got to get. Yeah. I would hide. I would remove myself from situations. And then, yes, I would do the call. I would do the. It's like, no, it's fucking done. Like, just fucking get me.
Yeah, just
like,
come just get
me the fuck out of here. Like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, same.
I would do those things.
I know. And
I related
this,
to a lot of those
things. Same. Like, and watching this, I'm like, well, in one way, I'm like, I've. Feel like I'm not alone and I just watched part of my life on the screen, which is comforting in a way.
Hell yeah.
But also like, oh yikes. Right, because that's also like one of the like the whole entire pool party is cringy
in a
bunch of ways.
Yes.
so many ways. Do you think that social media heightens self-consciousness and anxiety?
Yeah, because you're constantly confronted with, you know, there's all the levels of it. Watch The Social Dilemma. I can't recommend it enough. It's like we're scrolling through these things of other people's lives who we are glamorizing because it's like, oh, look how they look great, which they photoshopped and which they're only showing you the good parts of their life.
Another movie you could watch is Ingrid Goes West.
Yes, Ingrid Goes West, which we covered in a previous episode.
We did. Because that
this
also
is very related to Ingrid Goes West. I would probably put that in the, if you liked this, you'd like this.
Yeah,
thing.
For sure.
But yeah, so you see that, and so we're constantly comparing ourselves to others, and that's a big problem. And that's, you know, in therapy, they talk to you about that.
For
so
sure.
It's
hard.
Like, oh, but we have this, it's now like a social norm
to do it. Yeah.
It's so weird.
And to like hide behind your social media as well, because
and, like,
you don't want to like air out, quote unquote, air out your dirty laundry.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like you want to be relatable. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's just so many.
And that's why my social media is the balance of the two. Like, where
I try really hard
where
to balance
I show my ugly side sometimes, and then I show, it's like, and then sometimes I like to be,
yeah,
I like to brag.
Yeah.
Humble brag, you know.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, it's interesting because I think Bo has like really conflicted feelings about social
media. Well, he's like one of the lords of it.
Because he's like a lord. When I mentioned earlier that one of the only things I did when I was in middle school is go on YouTube, I would watch Bo Burnham. His videos when he would post them. And something interesting that I found about this movie is like he didn't put this from the perspective of a kid that's becoming famous, because he was becoming famous at that age.
Right.
Or true. Going, quote unquote, viral before going viral was really a thing.
Right.
But he actually...
So he didn't go for full biopic, but yeah.
Right. He actually, like, went onto YouTube and, like, you can search the daily videos by how many people have seen them. And he was doing that and picking the least ones that have been seen.
Mm.
And he was, like, transposing those out and, like, changing the words up and putting those into Kayla's videos.
Oh, no shit.
So that's how he did, like,
God,
that.
I love that, yeah.
I do, too. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. He was like, I want to make somebody that, like, is interested in social media and thinks it's cool, but, like, you know, has the anxiety that I have, but also, like, isn't really popular online. We don't really know if she has any fans online, you know.
One views, two views.
Right. Yeah. I know. So, really interesting stuff there.
Yeah.
And I found
it's like when you start a podcast, you just see, like, oh, one listen, two listens. Yeah. Okay.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Share us.
And now we had like 400 listens in 1 week.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. 400 plays. Anyway.
But.
Humble brag.
Humble brag. What was I going to say? Something about Bo.
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 Popular.
I'm Bo, yo. I'm the greatest rapper ever.
He was a really popular YouTuber.
He was, yeah. And so for this. Another thing I thought was interesting. So I think he has like some positive connotations with social media, right?
Mm.
He's probably seen both sides really hardcore from his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, for her, he didn't make her famous.
Mm-hmm.
But he made all of her videos positive affirmations.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Which I loved. And like every time she would walk by her mirror, she had sticky notes all around her mirror that said like, you're going to do great today. And... You know,
it's going to be really important for kids. Yeah.
To do stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so, too. What do you think is the strongest message of this film?
So it would be to. God.
I know that's a hard one.
Well, because I feel like it says a lot about, like, I relate a lot to it because it's, like, I'm doing my inner child work. So I feel like I understand where all of the anxiety, which, Kayla, not Kelly, feels, and stuff like that. And how it's like, you know, from this side of life, like, you want to just, like, comfort them and stuff like that. And then the unfortunate truth is that they have to go through it.
Yes.
Yes, so
that's so
it's
true.
Like, I don't know, kind of answers the question. So I guess the message being like, you know, go through these, you know, discomfort, go through the discomfort, but then also, you know, be truthful to it. Like, you know,
Her dad, like,
be honest.
Did such a good job of trying to like be there for her and also trying to let her do her thing. And not pushing her too much, like pushing her a little bit out of her comfort zone, like go to the pool party, make some friends. Like he really wants to see her have friends, you know, which I think is very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And normal, right? Every parent wants their kid to fit in, you know? But also when he's like spying on her at the mall.
That was not okay.
No, but like, I got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like if I was him, I probably would have done the same thing.
Just to make sure. Like he like, wasn't going to stay the whole time like a creeper.
He just wanted to make sure. Like see who her friends are. Cause he hasn't met these kids.
Yep.
And our parents always got to meet our friends and their friends, our friends' parents. Jacob's rolling his eyes.
So stupid.
You
know.
Our mom also has anxiety, though. Okay?
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's the problem. Like, yeah, anyway, don't worry. I'm going through the work.
You're going through
the
work.
You learn to understand that they had their own insecurities. And
it's
so
hard.
That whole thing.
It's so hard.
It's like, doesn't mean you have to be okay with it. Anyway.
Anyways. But, yeah, no, I think that her dad is just such an interesting character, though. He tries so
good
hard.
Actor. Like, not good a real actor. Big name, either. No. So, it's like, I liked that.
Me, too. I like that. I mean, this was, like, a Sundance film, right?
Makes sense.
And then it went into theaters, which
limited
was cool.
Release.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it played at the Fox Tower in Portland.
Oh, very nice.
It was pretty cool. My friend Nick was working there at the time. Bo-yo. it's one of his old songs. One of his 13-year-old Bo songs.
Jeez. Been in a long time.
Yeah. Good kid. Good pirate.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so
I think it time for favorite question?
It is. What was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was the first friend hangout.
Oh, so good.
With Gabe. It was so cute and relatable. Like, I love that they're dining over a plate of chicken McNuggets.
And they're talking about Rick and Morty. And they're
yes,
like,
and the sauce Szechuan talk. Sauce. Like, all I love scenes like this where it's just like, no, we're just talking about fucking chicken nuggets and stuff. Because, honestly, like, that is unfortunately life. Like, you have the... It's like, oh, I got chicken. Dude, you better get down on this stuff. It's good. Oh, they got the new fucking, like, the new good sauces, though. Like, they had this Chipotle sauce at McDonald's. Anyway, yeah.
I love it, very accurate. That is such well a done. Good scene.
And this was, like, kind of her, like, this was following the kind of fall from grace. This is kind of her, like, coming back. Like,
right.
Emerging from the ashes, if you will, because she just burned her coolest girl ever box.
Yeah, she did.
That was cool. Yeah.
When she lied to that boy about, like, her sexual...
God. And I love how it was, like, after the lies... Oh, yeah, and to answer your question, yeah, totally. I'm, like, the best ever.
I was like, oh, Jesus. I'm cringing so hard right now.
It's so but crazy.
But also, yeah.
See, yeah, it's moments like that. That's so real. Like, and,
so real. Like, it brought me straight back
into middle school. Like, yeah.
Because, like, I think all boys and girls probably back then, like, lied about how much they had done and
stuff.
Of
course, yeah.
But, yeah, they're, like, I was like, oh, my God, I definitely did shit like this.
The looking up the
blowjob
tutorials.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, practicing kissing, all of it.
Her dad.
Nailed
oh, my
it.
God. Walking, that is, like, ooh.
And then it was so crazy because here's a connection. Here's a crazy connection.
Yeah,
I broke my phone screen the same day that I watched this. And I was just like, holy fuck, I relate to that so hard. Screen breaks. But
oh my God.
Hers was way worse than mine, though.
I was going to say, I didn't know you broke your screen.
Yeah,
that
I
sucks.
Did. Yeah. Here, check it out.
I should have brought you a glass screen protector.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, it's up in the corner.
Yeah, and it's got little webs throughout. So
oh, love it.
Colleen might have a replacement phone for me. So
shout out to Colleen. Yeah, Colleen. Saving the day. What was your favorite performance?
And it was Gabe. Like, you know, outside of, like, you know, outside of Kayla.
Of Kayla, yeah. Gabe is the boy that she becomes friends
yeah,
with. The
and
boy
that
in
was,
the pool.
Yes, with the
I
stupid.
I love him so much.
He's Jake Ryan. He's kind of the Shia LaBeouf of
yeah.
the group. Yeah, he's Jake Ryan is his name. And at first I thought it was the weird kid from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
He plays the shitty young kid who anyway, doesn't matter from Game of Thrones. Anywho. Yeah. So
yeah,
I liked him
so
a lot.
Good.
Thought he was cute and likable.
I did too, and I was like, when I was watching it with Josh, I was like, you know, I had a friend like this who actually really helped me through the transition of middle to high school. Shout out Jason. We're still friends. Like he's
Jason.
Such, yeah, you've met Jason. But it's nice to have a friend that's like, no, this is just like who
Excuse
I am
me.
As a person. And
yeah.
like, I don't care what other people think. Like, yeah, I'm weird, but we're all actually weird. The people who aren't weird are pretending to be normal.
Yes.
You know, and that's totally Gabe, like, he's just like, nah, this is who I am, bro. Like,
yeah.
I like sauces from McDonald's.
Yeah.
And I like Rick
you know.
And Morty. And I like
yes,
to do
and they did
voices,
the voices.
And
shit.
I like to hold my breath under the pool and see who can do it longer. And, you know.
Yep.
Fun
Hell
shit.
Yeah.
Fun kid. What was your favorite line?
So, it's a long one.
Yeah.
And like, a big part of being confident is being brave, and you can't be brave unless you're scared. So for those of you who are feeling scared about being confident, it's actually a big part of confidence to be scared, and that's normal because you can't be brave without being scared. So go out there and just like be confident, and if you don't feel confident, just do it anyways. Make yourself confident.
Yeah. I love her. I just want to hug her.
And even though it's all bullshit you find out or whatever, if you want to think of it that way, it's like, no, like, you know, that's still pretty solid advice.
It is solid advice. And she was trying. Like, and
exactly.
You know?
Like, I feel that's what, it's like, I feel like I, like, try to, like, I say more than I actually have experience with, but it's like, it's part of, like, you know, you
and
hype yourself up.
That's how, like, I actually got through a lot of life was just pretending to be confident.
And I think, yeah, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And then another favorite line, though, is much more simpler, though. It's just like, I can't wait to be you.
Oh, I love
like,
that
like, that's what
so
you should
much.
Tell yourself all the time. Like, that yeah. really helped me. Like, that's oh, basically so inner beautiful. Child work.
It's yeah.
like, I can't wait to be you.
So beautiful.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Before I move on to the last, the rate rewatch recommend, I'd be remiss to not mention, like, the car scene with that older boy.
Ugh. Oof. Yeah.
Rough, man.
Scary.
Scary.
I was scared for her.
I was so scared for her, and then I was so proud of her.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And then I like that they let us sit in the shit that happens afterwards. I'm like, that we got that. Ugh. Whole thing. Ugh.
So, like, even though that awful. Scene is horrible,
yeah,
I was like, I appreciate that it's here and that it felt so real.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, so I had to mention it.
Yeah.
Just because it deserves a mention.
Yeah, you will watch it.
Fucking watch it.
You will fucking watch it, and you will sit in your discomfort.
Yeah, yeah, that
I like
is that. The thing. Is
I like the cringy.
In your discomfort.
Like, we've been on air saying, like, I like the cringe.
Yeah, sometimes I like to feel that. Because it's a very real feeling.
Exactly.
And when you don't want to escape to a movie, you know, you want a movie that's going to make you feel real. So
yeah.
That's this for
to
sure.
To be real.
To be real.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I think that's all I had here.
Okay.
Ugh, so good. I could talk it's about
really
it forever,
great.
Though.
Yeah.
Rate, rewatch, recommend.
So I would definitely rewatch and recommend both for sure. I don't know how often I would rewatch
yeah.
because it's tough sometimes, but no, it's really good.
It did make me cry.
And then I give it a solid 5 stars.
Yes!
Because, you know, yeah, my thing, so Casey's on the streak here with 5 stars.
Hell yes.
So, this gets 5 stars, so the last 5 stars I did was Jumanji, and that yeah. was based on fun factors, so this gets 5 stars based on, you know, realism.
Yeah.
And relatability and stuff like that. I feel like you got it. You always rate those movies higher. So
yeah.
this is an example of that. This is 5 stars because I feel like performances were really good. Solid writing. It didn't overstay its welcome
right?
either. It was the perfect length.
I agree.
Yeah, it was just really real and had a lot of good stuff to say.
I love it. That makes me so happy. A lot of the critics when this came out were like, Bo Burnham rates being a 13-year-old girl on YouTube perfectly. And I was laughing when I read those, and I'm like, well, he sort of was a 13-year-old boy on YouTube.
I was a 13-year-old girl on YouTube.
But I just, like, yep. imagine these critics, like, not, like, knowing anything about his YouTube history and just being
Dumbos.
Like, this new Bo Burnham man.
Yeah, who is this
He fella? Writes this really, really well.
Yeah, with dorks.
I love that.
And then some connections that I got. There's so many references throughout, though.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Hard.
So many.
So I just put lots of Disney.
Yes.
Like, she has, like, a whole Disney playlist,
mm-hmm.
which, again, relatable. Like, what the fuck, kid?
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter book in her little
yeah.
shoebox that I picked up on. SpongeBob. And it took me a while to realize that it was a flash drive. It's like, I
mm-hmm.
thought she was just looking at it to be like, it's like, oh, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
And then Rick and Morty, of course.
Totes.
Yeah.
Such one.
And so, let's see. Have we come to the point where it's time to make the
connection? The connection.
The
I think so.
Movie connection between Blue Jasmine and Eighth Grade. What do you got?
So, I just made a really broad connection that I think is probably the biggest one,
mm-hmm.
which is anxiety and mental health.
They really, it's so interesting that both of the core characters really did have the similar problem. And it's almost as if, like, she could have been Jasmine,
older.
Like, yeah, no, or yeah, vice
Jasmine
versa.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
That is totally
weird.
True and yeah. weird. Yeah. And they both deal with it differently.
Mm-hmm. And right. Yes. And I would have said the same. I think I do have that here also. And it is, I said similar where it's like they both cope with it differently.
Yes.
Like, yeah. So, right. But I also put like, you know, characters who disconnect from reality, whether by
totally.
Janet's ranting rhetoric spells or by Kayla's disappearing into her phone.
Yes.
Self-centered protagonists, like, you know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, you know, because I put Janet is self-centered by privilege and like social yes. status, but Kelly is just by age and Kayla is self-centered because of, you know, age and developmental stage.
It's so hard to care about like, anything else.
Come on.
When you are that age.
Precisely.
Literally. And your whole just, life is you.
We can hate on them for, but you know, like it's where you're at. Like, come on. You've only been on this planet.
Oh my God, 12, I just remembered years. when she asked her dad if it makes him sad. That scene kills me.
Very sad.
Ugh.
And that was because that was the best response.
Like, oh my God, he did so good.
It's like, how are you going to make an anxious kid feel better about this? Like,
and also, like, they did a good job of not letting him, like, panic for a second and think about it. And not just have an answer ready to
yes.
snap back with, yeah, which sometimes God. Movies do
yeah,
that.
Not everybody's Bob Saget.
Right? Right, exactly.
Yeah, totally. And then I also put some other connections here. We got characters attracted to toxic men.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Both films are written and directed by creators with authority on their subjects.
Yes.
Alan's movie was on privileged white intellectuals. And Burnham on anxious YouTubers.
Yeah. anxious YouTubers.
Yep.
I love
so
that.
So there you go. So some pretty cool connections here. It's kind of crazy how, like, yeah,
these similar they were so in some ways. But
like,
yes.
Just in the characters. Like, yeah. The main characters.
Yeah, and we don't, funny. Like, you know, we have these mapped out separately, mm-hmm. and we have no idea.
Never do we intend. Like,
no,
yeah.
and yep. we have no, I don't even know what's on my list for, you know, Jacob, what he has on my list.
Yep. Yep.
And same with him, unless I tell him, don't watch this.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Sometimes that happens.
Exactly, that. So we know some that
but
are,
it's like you never know
to
when
forget.
It's going
to
come, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be next season or even the season after that, honestly,
precisely.
You know.
Yeah, for sure. Like, seriously. Awesome. Well, that was fun.
Really fun.
Really good movies.
Yeah.
So now is the time to plug our social media shit.
Yeah,
you know how we do.
Yeah.
So if you just feel like saying hey to us, letting us know how we're doing, maybe you got a suggestion for movies or something, send us an email over at
movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. We would love to hear from you. We do have a little Facebook, so you can check us out on there. We do have an Instagram, which is The Movie Connection, all one word.
Yep.
You can also follow us individually, me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
Mention the Facebook. Definitely check in on those. Those
yeah.
are great.
Follow us. We don't post a ton, just once a week, so yeah. we're not going to flood your feed. You can feel free to DM us on there as well. And then if you guys will please subscribe mm-hmm. and also give us a rating.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We just actually got a recent 5-star review, which was really nice. So thank
awesome.
You very much
Love
for
it.
That. Awesome. So there's our plugs. Recommendations.
Recommendations. Yeah. Mine is really fun this week.
Tell me.
I'm recommending the Lego Harry Potter video games.
Oh my God. Cool. That's
yeah,
fun. All right. So kind of tied to my 8th grade, you know, for your inner child.
Totally.
Harry Potter.
And
okay.
the Lego video games specifically.
Lego video games are pretty, they
They're
get
so
a little
fun.
Frustrating for me, but go
Sometimes,
ahead.
Sometimes, yes. so fun. Like, I love it so much because...
Music.
The music is so good. And when you go into different rooms, it changes the songs just like it does in Harry
yeah.
Potter. Yeah, it's so good. And I bought... So the way they sell it is just like one disc and it has years 1 through 4. And then
Holy
it
crap.
Also has 5 through 7.
Wow.
Fucking
crazy.
Yeah. So good.
I like that they broke it up that way, actually.
Me too.
So they didn't do like 8 video games or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Good
yeah,
on them.
It's actually
good
just
call.
One video game. I got it for $20 probably because it's been out for a while. But so much fun and such like a relaxing thing to do after a long day.
Right.
Because it's like a pretty...
They do always
Chill.
Do, like, accurate music for those, don't they, the Lego games?
So good.
Because I even remember Star Wars, same thing.
Oh, my God, yes. The Star Wars
cool.
Lego games are fun, too, yeah.
So the Harry Potter Lego video games
yeah.
for whatever system
Yeah, I got it for
world.
The PS4, but they've got it for all of them.
Awesome. Well, my recommendation, I'm going to do two. One that kind of, each that kind of ties into the movies we did today. So one is very much tied into your uppity socialite self. You know, a good old travel eating show, you know, love watching like rich people do. And in this case, it stars fucking, you're gonna have to watch this, Casey. It's Stanley Tucci, Searching for Italy.
Oh my God, yes.
So it's the Tucci man, like going around, he's got Italian roots and like so you just get to see him go to different regions and try the food and talk about it and just be Stanley Tucci.
I love it.
So that's for the privileged part of you. Okay. And then the other part, like, again, I'm going to recommend, again, my friend Rachel Morgan at Beyond Touch Intimacy Coaching, because she is, like, we're working on inner child work here, and so she's got really good advice for that. So I just want to say check her out again. I'll post a link again as well.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Now, my favorite part. All right, it is time for our assignments of the week, Casey. Okay, I got a fun one for you.
Let's hear it.
It is super campy and ridiculous, but I think it's just what you need. And I also, it's going to time out perfect because of how we record these episodes. It's going to come out like a week or so after Shao-Ching is in theaters. So I'm assigning you Rumble in the Bronx, starring Jackie Chan.
All right.
And I feel like I might have seen somewhere that Rumble in the Bronx had some influence in it, maybe. And so that's kind of fun that it's somewhat connected to a recent movie.
Love it. When excited. This comes out. That'll be fun.
Rumble in the Bronx for you.
Rumble in the Bronx.
And then for me,
Miss Congeniality.
Fuck yeah.
It's happening.
It's happening. Oh, this is going to be interesting.
This is fun because these are two movies that I've been teasing Jacob. Like, eighth grade, I had told him that I was going to recommend or make him watch a long time ago. And then Miss Congeniality, same thing. So
it just keeps popping up in my HBO Max. It's just like, I wish I could just watch you, get you the hell out of my life.
You're going to now. Yeah. You're going to.
This will be interesting to connect to such a campy movie, but maybe.
This has campiness in it, too.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Just enough, I think, to find a way. And there's a lot of fighting in Miss Congeniality,
too. Oh, okay.
Too, so
perfect.
That might help as well.
It might connect, then. Well, awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Definitely tune in next week for these fun-filled movies. Highlight of my week. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, stay safe, guys.
And get vaccinated.
Bye.